Welcome to Caribbean Mystics Podcast,
where we marry mysticism, superstition, and lore. I'm your host, Paulina.
And I'm your host, Gabrielle. And we are your resident Caribbean mystics.
Join us today as we explore the depths of real supernatural stories.
Told by real people located right in our very own backyard.
Odette has had a lifetime of supernatural experiences, from having her name being whispered repeatedly to plates flying across her home. Odette believes something has followed her and her family from their time living in a quaint home on the island of St. Croix, something that hasn't left them since.
My name is Odette McGrath. I am a U.S. Virgin Islander, and this is my home, and our home is full of history. Our home is full of people, the living and the non-living. Since I was a little girl, I always felt different. I heard things, saw things, felt things, but, you know, me being a little girl, I always thought it was my imagination and so forth. Fast forward, married now. Just had my youngest son. He was a month old, and my husband at the time, we relocated to St. Croix for business and personal reasons as well. We bought our house a year later, moved into our house. It was in Christiansted on a hill in Orange Grove, right behind St. Dunstan School. On a clear night, I could see St. Thomas the lights, the cars driving by. From the moment I moved into that home, it felt lived in. It felt like it had a history. It was weird because I always felt a communication with the house. So I would go out, take the kids to school in the morning. And as I was leaving, I would say, I'm gone, see you later. Just for fun, but it became a habit when I got in. I would say, I'm back. But I would feel the energy in the house, and it wasn't scary energy, it wasn't anything like that, but I felt something there. I was never scared. Eventually, I would hear my name, well, Mom, being called, and I knew that the kids were all the way in the other side of the house playing, and I'd be like, yeah, who's calling me? And I would go to check on the kids, and I'm like, not me, Mommy, I didn't call you. It was happening a lot frequently. One night, around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up because I heard kids running in my bedroom hallway. The lights were off, and I thought I heard a horse galloping in my driveway. And I'm like, what's going on? So I got up and I turned on the light and I checked in my bathroom. There was no one there. So I'm assuming, you know, one of the kids wanted to use my bathroom in the middle of the night, or they just wanted to go to the kitchen to get something to eat. I mean, they were between the ages of 6 and 9 years old. As I was walking through the house towards their bedroom, I was turning on lights. Everything was closed. There was silence in the house. And each kid was sleeping. And I was like, wait a minute. I know I did not imagine this. I heard kids running in the hallway. And as soon as I got up, I remembered and I said, stop. Because I thought it was my kids. I didn't want them to fall or run towards the wall. It had stopped. Okay, so that freaked me out a little bit, but I didn't get scared. Soon after, when the kids were at school, I would take my day nap, you know, like an hour during the day, una siesta, like they say. Because, hey, I had 4 kids, they were a year apart. I needed my time, you know? So I remember laying down, and as I fell asleep, I heard my name being called.
Odette.
But I didn't hear it. It was like an inside voice. But I knew no one was in the house. I knew it was not of this plane, and I knew I shouldn't turn around. That I knew. For some reason, I knew. So as I was hearing Odette, I would say in my mind, no. And the more I said no, the louder the feeling of my name being called got. So I would get up, And I would just sit on the bed and I said, no. And then it would stop. The next time it happened, I ignored it again. I would say no. But this time, I felt like a little push. But I can't, it was not like arms or hands. It was like a push, a force. And it jerked me off the bed, so I got up. I mean, I sat up on the bed, looking in the opposite direction, always making sure that I did not turn around, because I knew if I turned around, after I saw whatever I would see, that would be it for me. I mean, it's engraved in my head. So after I sat up, I said, no, it stopped. I was like, okay, I'm getting concerned now, but never scared. It's like, what is going on? So I was thinking very heavily on asking now the pastor's wife, who was at the time my younger kids' headmistress, you know, at the daycare, to see if she could come in and bless the house properly, because I was hearing my name call, I was hearing mommy call, I was getting up, slightly pushed off the bed, and I was like becoming very uneasy. One night, this was one early evening, late afternoon, early evening, the kids were watching TV. So I says, you know what, let me just relax. So as I was falling asleep, again, I heard, and I was becoming annoyed now, because it's like, this is my home. Why am I being bothered in my home? I mean, I had a little attitude, but I was becoming angry. So I guess it sensed my anger, and all of a sudden it gave me such a force that it jerked me off the bed. And if it wasn't me stretching out my arm against the wall, with nightstand wall, where the bed is at, that wall, held me up. And that's when I had felt chills, and I was like, this is enough. And I yelled out, no. And I sat in the bed, and the energy changed in the bedroom. I became angry. I started to become angry because this was my home, and I felt like I was being violated in my own home. I had no peace, even though it did not feel negative. The not knowing what was happening, you know, just kind of freaked me out. One day, cleaning the hallway closet, I'm talking to my grandmother on the phone, and I saw a shadow figure go from my right to the left outside. And I'm just staring at this dark, slender figure walking from one side to the next. And I told my grandmother, I said, you know, I just saw something. And she says, what did you see? And I explained to her. Now, mind you, it wasn't easy for me to discuss these things because my family was Pentecostal. And stories like these are more so demonic possessions or things like that. I don't want to go into all that with my family. I know I wasn't demonic. I know I wasn't evil. But I knew that whatever I had was a gift, because I had it since I was young. All these feelings, all these emotions, all these things, I've had them since young. So I knew I was not a bad child. But my grandmother has always been the person that I go to discuss these things. And she said to me, well, you know what? Pray and see what it is. Pray and see. And I did that. But not having guidance, not having people around to really help me and guide me, I prayed everything away. I had someone come in and bless the house, and I thought that was it. We moved to Florida maybe 2 years later. And my kids were talking about, you know, mom, we've had situations happen in this house. I says, what? Yeah, me and Ramon, which was a friend of my kids, we're watching TV and we saw the plate fly from one side to the next. I says, what? In this house too? And he said, what do you mean in this house? And I says, well, in St. Croix, da da da. And they was like, mom, you too? And that's when I found out that my kids were having experiences as well. They were seeing people walking around the house outside. My daughter said she saw a family of three, a mother, a father, and a young child. But they never said anything to me, and I never said anything to them. Actually, even up to today, she said she still thinks of it. I just think that whatever energy was in St. Croix just followed us. I do not think it's a negative energy. I just think that it's just a protective energy. And because we don't know what it is, we tend to shun things that we don't know. Only now I'm embracing my spirituality, and the more I embrace it, the more things happen. I astral projected when I was pregnant twice with my daughter. It never happened again. But I knew the feeling, the loud buzzing that I would get in my ear, the feeling that my body wants to just vibrate out of my physical body. I was watching television during the day. This was midday. I wasn't working at the time. It must have been a holiday or something. And as I was watching TV, I guess I must have fallen asleep. And I'm hearing people talking. So I'm opening my eyes and I'm looking around. I see myself. Oh my gosh, I'm half dressed on my bed. And there's people talking outside my bedroom door. I mean, my bedroom window. Oh my gosh, the windows are open. They can see. But then all of a sudden the reality hit that I'm still sleeping. I actually saw myself sleeping, hearing people talking, and I'm trying to wake up. The only way that I knew how to wake up is that I have to physically pinch myself or inflict some sort of little pain to wake me up. So what I did is I tried to bite my arm, and eventually I bit my arm and I woke up. Now, there's no way, no how anyone could be outside my window. It's a drop. You can't even stand. You need a ladder. And for two people to be having a conversation outside my window, definitely that didn't happen in this plane. All I could say is that I was astral projecting to another plane and I heard a conversation of somewhere out there. That was the most bizarre, watching myself, biting myself, and still laying in the bed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Caribbean Mystics. I'm your host, Paulina.
And I'm your host, Gabrielle.
Before we go any further, we just wanted to highlight someone super special who has come true for the Caribbean Mystics podcast and all of our listeners in her audio sound effect stylings. The episode that you guys just listened to, she has put together all of the editing as it relates to like the voice and all of the blank space in between, as well as adding in the sound effects. And sis came in clutch. I want you guys to know that she started this, had no prior experience, but heard our plight and jumped in right in the nick of time.
Thank you so much. She has done she did the full audio production for this episode and a few episodes that are going to come up later in the season as well. So we are so grateful to you, Sarah Ann.
Absolutely. Sarah Ann Mitchell is for those of you who might be interested in using her services, sis is an entrepreneur. She is the owner of the Sparrow and the Finch Designs, which is a graphic design company that puts together the most beautiful branding for companies that might be wanting to source their branding needs locally, but also in an effortless manner. Like, she's all about sticking to time periods that you give her specific dates that she needs to stay in, you expect a certain quality of service, and she is on the money.
Does she have a website you can plug in?
She does not have a website. I know that what we will do, so that way it'll be a lot easier.
How can people reach her?
Gotcha. Yeah. So at the end of this episode, the ad that we're going to be running all season at the end of every single discussion is going to be her business, the Sparrow and the Finch Design, and it's going to give you her phone number that you can contact her directly and put in your work orders. So you'll see it, you'll hear it then, but also you can go into our show notes and it'll showcase her social media handles as well as the same information in her ad.
Sounds good. Yeah, so thank you so much because we really needed that help with the audio side. You know, it does me and Gabby. So it's been really nice having an additional team member. So welcome. And thank
welcome
you, girl.
And thank you. We love you.
Okay, so let's move on to our next subject. This episode is very interesting because I feel like it is not like the others. It's not quite like a story, you know what I mean? Like a full circle story. It's more of like this woman's experiences that she's been living with for quite some time. And specifically, I guess, in this one location as well. But she's kind of been in like silence about her own experiences. And then at the end, she talks about like the phenomenon of astral projection, which I'm really excited to go into personally. But I feel like this episode, this story is quite different just because it talks about her own personal goings-ons.
No, for sure. And why I think this particular story is very important is because this is how most people experience the supernatural. They normally don't have these big sprawling experiences in which, you know, like there's some sort of life-changing affirmation or, like you said, the full circle story where all of the information comes to pass at the end. She mm-hmm. is experiencing these little blips of supernatural, paranormal experience, and it has created this storyline with her and weaved itself in and out of her life throughout her life, no matter where she was, because the beginning of the story started in St. Croix and the ending of the story was in Florida. And I know right now she lives on the island of St. Thomas, and the experiences continue for her. And I think that this closely reflects what most people experience. It's usually not these sprawling storylines with the climax and mm-hmm. the ending. It's these little reminders that there's yeah. more just waiting right behind where the eyes can see.
Yeah, I find that like people find the stories that are like those one big experiences that someone has, and it's one full circle story. But we forget that a lot of people, that's a really good point that you brought up, have these small little one-off experiences throughout their life that they don't know how to explain. And it really makes you question, like, am I sensitive? Am I psychic? Am I on that scale? You know, like, I seem to be the only one that's picking up on these things. And we're going to touch a lot on that subject as well.
No, for certain. I think that this actually, just what you said, weaves itself really wonderfully into, like, my first point, where I don't think all of us have truly come to terms with the fact that all of us have, you know, psychic ability. All of us have some sort of intuitive ability that tends to shine in certain areas. And so I know that there are businessmen who are like millionaires, billionaires, that will talk about how they just knew. They knew to make the deal. They knew to buy the stock. They knew to open a business. And this, we like to call it good luck, you know, and that it was just this, like, you know, act of God. But I think oftentimes it's definitely people leaning on their own inner spiritual abilities. I think everyone has it, and mm-hmm. everyone's abilities and to the extent of which they use them is very personal. I've never met someone who isn't psychic, who hasn't experienced some sort of knowing that saved them from danger or that brought them to some kind of success mm-hmm. or opportunity.
I also think it's like a kind of a secret underground acceptance by a lot of people. I know there's definitely people out there, and I don't like to call them skeptics because I consider myself a skeptic, but I still believe like there's a possibility and other things that we can't understand. I call those people that are like, they don't believe it in absolutely, like, no way they believe in anything like that. It's like almost a form of denial. Yeah. But I think that a lot of people more than we think do believe in like the otherworldly. And a lot of those leaders or businessmen or people in power, maybe they don't have the ability as much. They do have like some intuitive sense, but I can guarantee you a lot of them utilize people that do, especially high profile people. Cause I've just like researched and heard through the grapevines, you know, they've used psychics before, they've used astrologers to kind of see which way their business should go. They utilized these sources through divine to see if they will create success, they will make success in their business or their their entrepreneurial ventures. So I think it's kind of like a widely accepted low-key thing, but a lot of people don't want to like talk about it or admit it.
Completely agree. And I think that there is, even in our own community, you know, like there's a lot of people who can talk about that one dream that they had that foretold the future. It foretold death. It foretold danger. You know, it foretold a child coming into the world. And it's really interesting because we also live in a community that's very religious in nature. It's very religiously confined in some cases. And so it's, on one end, you see people really leaning into, you know, my mother had a dream and she told me I couldn't go out last night. Also, you know, my mother requiring me to go to church on Sundays. And so there's this intersectionality that happens with both spirituality and religion very closely in our Caribbean communities, which I always find super interesting.
I agree. And I also feel that I think it's just kind of funny, like some people are so religious, but they refuse to believe in like these spiritual occurrences. It's like, but aren't your beliefs in alignment with a lot of these weird things happening? Like, I don't know. But I definitely believe that everyone is psychic or can become psychic. You know, when I was younger, I used to, people would be like, oh, you're such a great singer or an artist. And I always thought like, oh, you know, like maybe that's something that comes natural to me, but I always fully believe that anybody can sing and anybody can draw. They just have to learn and learn how to do it, and they can do it. And I believe it's the same way with like psychic abilities. And I think that some people are naturally born, and it's a genetic thing because, you know, a lot of our traits are genetic, so it makes sense. And I also really think that it works like on a spectrum. Like on the low end would be like you're intuitive, you know, you can pick up on little things. Oh, maybe I shouldn't get that, I should get that instead. Maybe I shouldn't go in that car, I just have like this feeling. And then on the high end of the spectrum would be like an ascended master, like Jesus or Buddha or somebody who had these miraculous abilities, and not just this energetic veil or energetic being of like love and positivity and light, but a lot of those ascended masters also had these quote unquote powers, you know, the powers to heal, resurrections. You read about it in the scriptures, you know. So I think it like kind of goes on a scale in that sense. There's like intuition, psychic ability, then like all the different types I know you wanted to go into as well. Yeah,
we can jump right into that. So everyone's psychic abilities is going to look different, just as we are all individual people with different competencies. It is the same in our psychic lives. And so they call them the five clairs. You have clairsentience, which speaks toward people who can get a feeling that something is wrong, or they have a feeling. Some people can feel when other people are in pain around them. So maybe they're sitting next to a friend who needs back surgery and their lower back starts to hurt. And so that is one form of intuitive. We have clairaudient, which is hearing. We saw clairaudient occur in Odette's story, where she was talking about hearing her name being called. And so I think that when spirits or entities bring themselves forward, they also have the ability to see where our strengths lie so they can communicate with us effectively. And so one of her strengths is clairaudience. She also heard her children playing and calling mom, but no one was there. She heard the hoof prints of the horses outside galloping. Nobody's there. And so clairaudience is definitely a very big part of this story and of Odette's story as it relates to her life and her psychic abilities. We also have clairvoyance, which is someone who can see. So people who can see spirits in their mind's eye. There's also clairalience, which is the sense of smell. So you smell the perfume your deceased grandmother used to wear. or you can smell spirits. I know Angelica spoke about the ability to smell spirits in season 1, episode 2, where she can smell them when they come into readings with her. And so she's able to bring forth defining things, like maybe they smoked a cigar pipe, and so they come in with that cigar smell to affirm who they are and the messaging that they're providing to whoever the loved one is. And then the last one is going to be claircognizance, which is knowing. And this is something else that Odette speaks about a lot in her story, especially with this really forceful entity that is pushing her off the bed, is calling her name, trying to get her to turn around. And Odette has this inner knowing that if she turns around, she will see something that she will never forget, and something that may very well change her life. And she knew intuitively that turning around was not going to be positive. And so she followed that knowing and that intuitive push to do not face it, do not acknowledge it in that way. She spoke to it, and that was how she was able to banish it the several times that it appeared to her.
I'd also like to add that with the Clairs, it doesn't always have to relate with spirits too, because there are psychics out there who specialize in just relaying information that has to do with you, whether it's like your past, your present, or your future, and that actually don't have abilities or don't want to tread on mediumship either. So it could also be like people hear things from the past, or they see things of the future, yeah. Or they feel that knowledge as well, like they just that knowing of like, I think this business deal is gonna be in your favor, you know. But those are a lot of good points to bring up, because she did express, especially the audience one, like she definitely heard a lot going on. The galloping's really interesting to me, because I felt like the galloping was like residual energy in that area, maybe, that she heard of these like horses, because I don't know. She's definitely like in touch with something. And she kept saying how this entity wasn't negative either. Maybe it was just like messing with her. But she would not have in any of it.
No, for certain. And when you think about where it happened, you know, it happened in St. Croix. St. Croix has always been known as it is a very rich. It has a very rich agricultural history. Of course, dating back to before the time of slavery, where St. Croix had over 100. They had a substantial amount of sugar mills. And so there was a lot of animals that were brought over to the island, including like cattle and horses and, you know, donkeys. So the galloping makes sense to me as it relates to the historical construct of St. Croix in general. But something that you said really struck a chord within me, where you were talking about some people have the ability to see things that have happened in the past or in the future, and I feel like Odette is definitely one of those people where, for whatever reason, she's able to move between timelines. And so she can see the entity. She can see the entity in her mind's eye behind her bed. She can hear it calling her name. She can feel it pushing her. And that's happening in the present. But she's also hearing the horse hoofs beat against the ground that happened in the past, as well as the people meeting outside her window. The voices that she's hearing that I feel very much came from past residual energy. And so it's this timeline jumping that's kind of happening in that. And I think that we have a lot of people in our community that are very gifted, you know, are very in tune. And I think that when you live in a place where there's so much nature around us, we are an island completely surrounded by water. We have trees, we hear the birds, we see the stars in the sky. We don't have the kind of light pollution that you may have in estates, in like cities and stuff. And so we just in our being are connected to nature. And in that interconnectedness with nature, you have an interconnectedness with self, whether you realize it or you don't.
I'm a full believer in that. Absolutely. I think it's just something that comes natural to us. We were made for this planet. Like, we were made to live in harmony with the plants and the earth and the animals. And I'm getting a little hippie here, but this is always how I felt. Like, we were like puzzle pieces. And the little, you know, cement houses and buildings that we've built is the unnatural factor that's detaching us from that bond that we used to have with Mother Earth. and everything. And I completely agree that once you have that bond established with nature, comes these knowings and these self-awareness and the awareness of your surroundings and environments, because you are just enveloped in it.
No, that's definitely facts. And I get to meet a lot of tourists every day. I work in Yachthaven Grand, which is a very popular touristy area. We have a lot of like yachts that'll come in. And so these are people from all over the world, and everyone has the same resounding experience where they come to the Virgin Islands and they have these otherworldly experiences. Things are lining up or things are falling apart. You come here, and I tell people this all the time, when you come here to meet your demons, and you decide whether you are going to do the self-work and the accountability and the introspection that this experience is asking of you, or you will fall apart and you will go back home. But there is no middle line when it comes to living here, especially if you are not from here. You are around energies that you are unfamiliar with. The energy here is extremely old, and it is, in some cases, unforgiving. It is requiring more. And there are some people who are unable to live with the influx of energy that just naturally exists on this land.
I can see that. Growing up in the VI, you definitely see a certain pattern of newcomers that come and go, and sometimes they go down a dark path, and it's interesting, you know, it's interesting to see that. But I know you also wanted to talk about like the perceptions and fear around having some of these abilities or being sensitive, and that people tend to go silent, and how that can be very harmful to oneself too.
Yeah, so in the story, Odette talks about how she had these experiences and she didn't want to tell anyone about it, you know, and she didn't even talk to her children that were living in the same home. And it was at the end of the story that they realized that both of them were experiencing their own paranormal encounters, but no one in the house, everyone's living in the same house and no one's talking to each other. And I think that that happens more time than we would like to acknowledge here, because there is so much disconnect and fear around spirituality and ourselves and our ancestors that people choose not to have the conversations because they're often seen as very taboo. And the spiritual climate of our territory is that steeped heavily in religion. And in some cases, there are some religions that do not allow a safe space for these conversations to be had, because everything's washed over with the doctrine of like fear, and anything that you can't explain that happens is by way of demons. You have bad dream, you have a dream, it's a demon. A loved one comes to you that's passed away and they deliver a message. Don't listen to it because it's a demon. And so I think that when we have these strong beliefs also seated in fear, I think it creates this air of silence. And our silence creates individual suffering because no one's talking about their experiences, even though everyone in the room is having them. And it is a complete juxtaposition to the support and community we could be experiencing if people felt the ability, the comfort, the safety to be able to speak up and be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And so I see in our generations, that our younger generations coming up, you know, like our millennials and our Gen Zers, there is a lot more conversation happening around spirituality, around the power dynamic of religion, and around the way that we hold each other to these very antiquated standards of life. And so I'm very happy to see that taking place, and I can't wait to see where that conversation takes us, because there's so much silence that has begotten by way of religion. You know, even when we look at situations of abuse in households, you know, wives are encouraged by their religious leaders to stay in abusive relationships for the sake of the covenant of marriage, or sexual abuse is very much swept under the rug for the sake of, you know, what the perception of the community is. And so, or handling things in the quiet, you know? And so I think that there is a lot that coming out and speaking could possibly, like, benefit our community and pull us up into a higher form of consciousness and in community with each other.
Yeah, I think the days of, like, keeping it hush-hush are slowly dissipating. Yeah. And even if you aren't religious, you know, like in my family, for example, sometimes talking about those things just for the fear of being looked at as, like, you're weird. Yeah. Like, no one's gonna believe you. No one's gonna... Everyone's gonna think you're, like, a weirdo for thinking that. That's, like, also another factor why people won't say anything. Because it's, you know, by popular demand, it's, like, you're crazy, you know? And that's... I've heard a lot of stories where people are, like, people are just gonna think I'm insane. But nowadays, it's... I think, like, I read a statistic somewhere, just the amount of people that actually do believe in spirits or ghosts or, you know, these... strange phenomenon is just skyrocketing, and more people are talking about their experiences and are open to talking about it. I tell you, if that was my household, though, like, I've always said this since I was young, in my household, we're not gonna keep quiet. You tell me if you see something, you know, like,
for certain.
You tell me, and I want to, like, connect the pieces. Like, I always see in the movies where they see something and they never tell their mom or dad, like, nothing, and I'm like, why? Just tell them, and then you'll figure it out together, like a Scooby-Doo family. So
no, for sure. I think that there is a lot within our Caribbean community of the Virgin Islands that we really need to uncover together as it relates to our relationship with religion. And I'm not talking about any religion in general or specific, but I'm just talking about religion as it relates to having a structure in which you pursue a relationship with God, with divine source, with the creator. However you acknowledge this and this energy that is all-knowing and all-powerful, and I believe definitely, like, made of love. I see ways in which in our community where religion has definitely played a role in a lot of the division that families have with each other, and that different neighborhoods have with each other, other different groups of people. And it's really unfortunate, because if you really get to the root of religions, most of them are going to be very much steeped in God, steeped in the belief of this higher power that is very much rooted in love. But instead of us seeing this commonality as something that all of us can look at and find, you know, solace in each other with, we are definitely very much like, if your relationship with God doesn't look like mine, then you're doing it wrong. And then that creates judgment, and it creates division, and it creates a lot of contention that doesn't have to be there. And if we had to be really real with ourselves, the way that we have maligned African spirituality in our Caribbean community that is predominantly Black is a problem. And if we are really serious about decolonizing the Virgin Islands from, you know, the powers that be, we would really have to start and take a really good look at the way that we continue to demonize the various forms of African spirituality that were instrumental and were necessary in order for the abolition of slavery in our territory to come to be. And so that's my highest hope for my community.
And I think a lot of people don't think of it in that depth either. So bringing that to light is definitely insightful, I'm sure, for a lot of our listeners too.
Yeah. Just one more thing. I also think that because we live in a world where it's just like, it's either you pick this or you pick this, you know, you can't like pink or you can't like blue at the same time. Like, it's either one or the other. Sometimes people feel like they have to pick between the two things, you know, the religion and the spirituality. Sometimes people feel like, are you trying to say that the Bible you know, isn't the word of God. And it's just like, yeah, maybe the Bible is the word of God. And maybe there's more words that are not in the Bible. You know, maybe there are more forms of communication mm-hmm. that we can explore together. And so it doesn't have to be seen as like a divisive this or that. It could be, but what about the everything? Can't we all be right? Can't we all come to a place where we can agree that our common ground is the same?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I feel like that's a big, like, reason. People think we're, like, we're so civilized and modern. It's like, but there's a lot of things about us that aren't really yeah. there yet. You know, we still have some more elevation to gain as far as, like, accepting. Like, maybe we have the same ideals but use different words and different yeah. ways to get there.
The second coming of Christ, I deeply believe in, but I believe it'll come in the way of Christ consciousness. It is an uprising of a lot of the beliefs of the Christ energy, you know, like the do unto others that you would want for yourself, the look out for your brother, look out for your sister, you know, love and commonality between the two. I think that's what we will see.
I think there's it's definitely happening yeah. already for like a few years, like a slow increase in just the human yeah. consciousness as a whole becoming, I mean, I hate using this word because I feel like it just devalues it, but the woke,
yeah.
you know, the whole woke culture, it's hard because some of that is very much like
and divisive. Like even totally even the woke culture could be so divisive. I'm just like, man, something that was Stop. Something that could yeah, so something that could have been so instrumental in unshackling us from these preconceived yes. notions has been taken and has been defiled
and branded yeah. and yeah, it's like pretty much branded and marketed, and it's now you can buy it on fucking Etsy yeah. yep. or something.
I agree.
But so one of the last subjects I really want to talk about was astral projection, because Odette goes into that, and that took such a turn for me at the end. I was like, whoa, she's going into a whole nother realm now. And I got super excited because I'm a big fan and have studied astral projection, obviously not professionally, but just like in my own little geeky fangirl way. I've studied astral projection for like a few years. And for those who don't know what astral projection is, it's pretty much a term used in esoteric culture. It's to describe an intentional out-of-body experience. So it's assuming that the subtle body called the astral body exists, in which the consciousness can function separately from the physical body, and you travel throughout the astral plane. And Odette used a lot of these terms, so it makes me feel like she's definitely like done some research, or she's read about it beforehand, because she just knew the terminology, yeah. you know, and she knew what it was. And a lot of people try to achieve this. There's a whole subreddit about it as well that have different techniques. And this has been around, this concept has been around for generations, for years and years, like since ancient Egyptian times, this type of soul travel. And even the CIA has touched and studied on it. And they called it remote viewing because they wanted to take advantage of that, of course. They would send people to try to remote view on Russians and to spy on other countries. So this is like a real thing, you know? I've personally have had a couple weird experiences with astral projection as well. And it was unintentional, involuntary, just like Odette's. And the first time it happened to me was, I would think I was like 25. And I was in LA. And I was just lying in my bed, and I was not really into it at this point because I had tried for like years before to do it, and it's really hard. It's really hard. But this one time I was just really exhausted and I fell asleep, and I just remember I woke up, but when I woke up, the room looked different. It looked almost black and white, and I remember sitting up in bed. And the first thought that came to my head was, wow, why do I feel so light? And then I remember thinking, like, am I dreaming right now? And then I'm like, am I having a lucid dream? But my thoughts were so clear. Like, I knew what a lucid dream was because I have them often. I'm like very, I have a lot of weird dream experiences. And I knew for sure this wasn't a dream because it felt clearer. It wasn't as blurry as a dream was. And I just remember thinking, like, my body feels really light. And I just had this knowing, this thought in my head, Paulina, don't turn around because you're going to see yourself lying down and it's going to freak you out. And I remember thinking that, like, just don't look back because I don't want to see my body. You know, in theory right now, I'm like, that'd be so cool. I'd love to, like, get that knowing, like, oh, I did it. But in the time, it was really terrifying. Just the thought of seeing my body lying down on the bed and me sitting up. So I kind of like sat there for a moment and took it in. I looked around my bedroom and everything looked the same, but it was like there was like a film over it. Like everything was black and white. And then I look down to the corner of my room and I see a figure and it's crouched really small, holding its knees like almost like a child would hug its knees in a crouched sitting position. And it had this like really big head and I was just staring at it like, what is that? And it started lifting its head up and looking at me, and that's when I just completely nope, and I could not. And I remember just intuitively knowing, okay, I'm gonna lay back down in my body and I'm gonna go to sleep. And that's exactly what I did. I laid back down in my body and then everything went black. And then I had a dream and then I woke up in the morning. And I remember that being like, whoa, what the hell just happened? Because I had a dream after that. So I knew there was such a clear difference with the feeling of it. And then it happened again one time when I was pregnant with Cruz. Well, I know it was after I had him. It was just a few days after I had my newborn baby. And it happened in my sister's apartment. Same thing. Was dead asleep. Suddenly woke up in the middle of the night. And I remember sitting up out of bed again. And the same feeling. I feel so light. And I look around the room. And it's the same thing. It's black and white. And I had the same thoughts again. Like, am I dreaming? I'm in my room. This is weird. And I remember looking down and seeing my baby and being like, oh, my baby. And then I look at my suitcase and it's on the left side of my bed and it lifts up in the air and it's like something invisible is holding it and taunting me. Like it's taking the suitcase and like doing this little dance with it left and right. And it's talking to me in Spanish and it's saying, ¿A dónde vas? ¿A dónde vas? And it's saying, like, where are you going? Where are you going? And it's, like, taking my suitcase and dancing around with it. And I was, like, it scared the crap out of me, obviously, because I'm, like, what is this? But immediately, because my baby was there, I went into, like, mother bear mode. And I was, like, nope, I'm not scared at all because my child is here and I need to protect him. And I just instinctively took on, like, I called upon, like, Archangel Michael, and I was just thinking about him and thinking of, like, light, like, me and my baby covered in light and just this mass amount of light and love. And literally, in my mind's eye, I saw this angel just, like, tear through the sky, like, tear through my room, pretty much. And everything, like, lit up. And he had like this sword he was leading with in the sky. It was so strange. And then it was like I felt safe again and calm and at peace and everything was okay. And then I like went back to sleep.
I kind of wish we could take all of this out and use it in a story. This was really good. Yeah. And you're all like, I don't have any stories.
Well, that's what I was saying, like, nothing like with spirits, I think, but just like really, really strange out of body experiences, right? You know, so I never got as far as Odette, as far as being able to actually travel, because supposedly in the astral plane, there's a lot of things you can do. There's universities, there's therapy, there's groups, there people have established institutions in the astral plane. And there's people that can do it on command that have practiced it for years. And it's a whole nother world literally out there. And you can meet amazing entities that are not of this plane, this earthly plane. And you can meet some scary ones. But it's a whole thing. And if this is something that you want to get into more and kind of learn about, I would definitely recommend checking out Reddit and checking out the subreddit Astral Travel. There's a lot of people that have like experience there and tips on how to achieve it. And the way Odette was describing how she got there was exactly how I've read these people get there, from the vibrating of her body until she was like pushed out of her body. And so when she was telling that part, I was like, okay, yeah, she definitely projected.
After you check out our Reddit page and you have some stories, yes, let the Caribbean Mystics podcast know.
I'd love to know.
So we can have you on our
Yeah. Where would show. You go, too, if you could travel? Where would you go? What would you see, yeah, you know?
Keep us posted. Let us know. We are definitely very intrigued. With that being said, if you or anybody that you know have a paranormal, supernatural experience that has occurred right here in the Caribbean region, please reach out to us. We are already compiling stories for season 3, and we would love, love, love to get your story in. Also, please don't forget to share this episode. Give us a 5-star rating because you love us so much. Leave a nice written review so we could get this podcast out there to more people.
Yes. We are an independent show, so we appreciate all the love and support and the ratings. And
we do.
And yeah.
Shares.
Yes.
Share us on Facebook. Let everybody know.
Until then, we will see you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Caribbean Mystics Podcast.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share with your family and friends. Like, follow, and subscribe to keep up with all of our spooky Caribbean content.
Do you have a story you'd like to share that took place in the Caribbean? Email us at CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. That's CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. Or check the show notes for more info.
Caribbean Mystics is created and hosted by Paulina Creaky and Gabrielle Carrard. Theme song is Folktale Juve Rhythm by Umi Marcano. Are you in need of a graphic design company that can help your business soar to new heights? Look no further than Sparrow and the Finch Designs. Our team of skilled designers can create stunning logos, eye-catching advertisements, and visually stunning websites that will make your business stand out from the flock. Trust Sparrow and the Finch Designs to bring your vision to life. Contact us today at 512-316-8830 to get started.